What if I told you that right now, millions of people are living with a debilitating condition that's so misunderstood, many of them don't even know that they have it? That condition is obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD. I'm Dr. Patrick McGrath, the Chief Clinical Officer of NOCD. And in the 25 years I've been treating OCD, I've met so many people who were suffering from the condition in silence, unaware of just what it was. OCD can create overwhelming anxiety and fear around what you value most, make you question your identity, beliefs and morals, and drive you to perform mentally and physically draining compulsions or rituals. Over my career, I've seen just how devastating OCD can be when it's left untreated. But help is available. That's where NOCD comes in. NOCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for obsessive-compulsive disorder. Our licensed therapists are trained in exposure and response prevention therapy, a specialized treatment proven to be incredibly effective for OCD. So visit nocd.com to schedule a free 15-minute call with our team. That's nocd.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You have to understand how things are up here.
Hey guys, it's your ghost John, and welcome back to What Is It? One of our too many episodes that come out every single week. Please also consider tuning into our hour-long episodes that come out every Wednesday. And don't forget to Google the 21CD podcast and follow us everywhere. And to check out 21CDstudios.com for updates, merch, and links to our other places. Let's get into it. The Huldufólk. Sometimes also known as the hidden folk or the hidden people, is a term from Icelandic folklore that translates to hidden people. And these beings are kind of elf or fairy, and they are believed to live in a parallel world to humans, often within nature itself, such as under rocks, in hills, or in specific natural landscapes. In Iceland, they call them elf towers, and the hidden people are invisible to most human beings, hence their name. But they are said to occasionally reveal themselves to humans under certain circumstances, or if provoked. Guys, this episode is really exciting for me because in just 1 week's time, I will be in Iceland looking for the Huldufólk. So I'm extremely excited. Some of you might have heard my episode a long time ago where I talked about an alleged sighting that I may or may not have had. I think I had. It was something crazy that I saw in Iceland. And if you guys do want to go watch that, I think it's like episode 4 or something. It's called Elf Spotting in Iceland. And I believe that I saw some of these Huldufólk. And so I'm going back there next week. I'm going to spend some time out in Iceland just hiding and looking for these things and trying to document any evidence I find on video. And I can't wait to show you guys. But that's why we're doing this episode now. So let's really dive into this and have a little bit of excitement and anticipation for what's to come, because this research is only beginning, all right? The Huldufólk are typically described as resembling humans, but they're often said to be more beautiful, elegant, and graceful, and they are usually depicted wearing old-fashioned or traditional Icelandic clothing, which may help them blend in with the landscape. Despite their human-like appearance, they do possess a mystical quality that seems to kind of set them apart from ordinary humans. True to their name, the hidden people are believed to dwell in natural features like rocks, hills, and cliffs. Icelanders often consider certain rock formations or particular locations as inhabited by the hidden people, and they show great respect for these places. And these beings are believed to live in homes or communities that are hidden from human sight, often underground or within these natural features. And they maintain this lifestyle that kind of mirrors human society, but remains largely invisible. The Hulda folk are deeply connected to the natural environment, and they are considered protectors of the land. They're often associated with very specific places or things on the landscape. And disturbing these places is thought to provoke the hidden people, who might retaliate if their homes are threatened. For example, stories abound of construction projects in Iceland being delayed or halted altogether because they interfered with locations believed to be inhabited by these huldafólk. Roads have been rerouted or altered to avoid disturbing their dwellings altogether. Huldafólk are often described as generally peaceful and private, and they prefer to live their lives without interference from humans. But they can be helpful, mischievous, and vengeful too, depending on how they're treated. In that way, they're a lot like the Fae that we talked about on the last episode of What Is It? And they are known to assist humans who respect nature or treat them kindly. For example, they might guide a lost traveler, offer healing advice, or even bring good fortune. Conversely, those who harm their environment, speak ill of them, or act disrespectfully, well, they could suffer some misfortune, illness, or even an unfortunate accident. Although usually hidden from human sight, huldafólk can occasionally become visible, and this might happen during specific times, such as during certain holidays like Christmas or Midsummer, or under special conditions, like a person being particularly open to or attuned with nature. Sometimes they reveal themselves to those who are lost or in need, especially in remote areas where the veil between their world and ours is a little bit thinner. In many ways, the huldafólk, the hidden people, represent this continuation of pre-Christian animistic beliefs in the spirit and sanctity of the natural world. Their presence in Icelandic folklore helps keep alive even older traditions and attitudes toward the environment, reinforcing a real cultural respect for nature that is deeply ingrained in Icelandic society. And the belief in hidden people likely does have roots in animistic traditions that predate the spread of Christianity in Iceland. Most likely it does. And in these traditions, every aspect of nature, from the rivers to the trees, was thought to be inhabited by spirits or otherworldly beings. And the huldafólk can be seen as descendants of these ancient beliefs, representing the spirits of the land that live parallel to human society. With the arrival of Christianity in Iceland around the 11th century or so, older pagan beliefs did not vanish entirely, but instead they merged with this new religion. And some legends suggest that the huldafólk are the descendants of the children of Eve, who were hidden from God due to shame, or that they are fallen angels who were not evil enough to be cast into hell, but not good enough, to remain in heaven either. Huldafólk are similar to the elves and fairies found in other European mythologies, if you're starting to see some correlations from the other What Is It episodes we've recently done. And like these beings, huldafólk occupy liminal space between the natural and supernatural worlds, acting as guardians of this environment and occasionally even interacting with humans. The term elf or elfar in Old Norse was often used interchangeably with huldafólk in medieval texts, suggesting that they share some kind of overlapping origin. Even today, belief in huldafólk remains a staunch part of Icelandic culture, and surveys have shown that a significant portion of the Icelandic population is at least open to the possibility of their existence. And Iceland is not a huge place, guys. It's a small place. So the fact that this population of Iceland could entertain the idea, the possibility that the huldafólk are among them is crazy. Crazy awesome. And this belief is often more symbolic than literal, representing a respect for nature, the unseen, and the mysteries of the world. But many, many Icelanders also believe that no, they're actually out there, and you gotta be careful what you're doing in the land because you might disturb the huldufólk. And the stories of them are commonly told in Iceland, and many people treat them with a sense of cultural pride. Huldufólk beliefs also play a role in preserving the environment, of course. Icelanders who respect these beings tend to be more cautious about disturbing natural landscapes, and that might be why they're more, less hesitant, I should say, to believe in the huldufólk, is because they do respect the land, therefore the huldufólk respect them. Stories of road construction projects and construction of buildings being delayed, rerouted to avoid these huldufólk homes are not just local folklore. We've talked about it before. The belief in huldufólk has also become an important part of Iceland's cultural identity, and it's a significant draw for tourists interested in the island's unique folklore. Storytellers and guided tours and local attractions often highlight sites believed to be connected to these hidden people, sharing stories that have been passed down through generations. Many stories about the huldufólk revolve around encounters with humans who accidentally or purposefully interact with their world. People who get lost in remote areas are even aided by the huldufólk. And these hidden people might offer shelter, food, or guidance back to familiar territory. However, this help is usually conditional on the person treating them with respect and not speaking of the encounter afterward. If disrespected or their homes destroyed, huldufólk might cause mischief or even exact revenge, and this can range from causing someone to get lost or suffer minor accidents to much more severe retribution, such as illness or financial ruin. Huldufólk represent this deep respect that Icelandic culture has for nature and the mysteries that are in nature. After all, God says we are the stewards of the earth. Whether seen as real entities or not, these huldufólk are symbols of nature, and they embody the idea that the natural world has things in it, unseen forces, that deserve consideration and deserve our protection. The origins of the huldufólk, or these hidden people, in Icelandic folklore is rooted in a sort of combination of ancient beliefs, newer and older cultural influences, and this pre-Christian sort of tradition that came from Europe, from other places in Europe. And the concept of hidden people likely emerged from a mix of indigenous traditions, Norse mythology, and later Christian reinterpretations, like we already said. And that gives them a very multifaceted set of levels that they can approach us from. But before the arrival of Christianity in Iceland around the 10th century, the island's inhabitants, like many other pre-Christian societies, practiced animism. And it's this belief that natural objects or places and creatures possess spiritual essence and consciousness. In these kinds of belief systems, rocks, trees, rivers, cliffs, oceans, and other elements, the sky, all features of the landscape, they were thought to be inhabited by spirits or supernatural beings. As I said in the last episode, the hill isn't alive, but something alive is in the hill. The hidden people could have originally been conceived as these nature spirits or landveitir, which are guardian spirits of the land. In Norse and Icelandic traditions, these spirits were believed to inhabit very specific natural features, like we've been talking about. And they required respect and appeasement to ensure prosperity and safety. The idea of huldufólk might have grown from these older beliefs, imagining them as beings who lived invisibly alongside humans in these special places. In many animistic cultures, the earth itself is considered alive, with its own consciousness and its own personality. And in my opinion, these huldufólk just give it one more step further. The earth itself isn't alive, but it is filled with alive beings. The Norse mythology brought to Iceland by early settlers, primarily from Scandinavia, they provided a rich backdrop for the evolution of this hidden people lore. And the hidden people could be linked to various supernatural beings found in Norse myths. We've already mentioned the elves. They appear frequently in Norse mythology, and they are these beings that are also said to inhabit this parallel world. Alfheimr, which is a realm that is both near and hidden from the human world, is where the elves are said to come from. And like the Huldufólk, elves were considered very mysterious and sometimes benevolent and sometimes even vindictive or vengeful, with powers that could affect the human world in big ways. In Icelandic folklore, the line between elves and hidden people often blurs, and they're sometimes considered synonymous. This concept of huldufólk might have evolved from these earlier beliefs in elves with a specific Icelandic interpretation, influenced by the island's unique environment. But what's interesting is that Iceland also has stories of elves and appears to somewhat separate them into a totally different category. There's also the dwarves from Norse mythology, and they're beings that dwell underground, and they're very skilled in crafting and metalwork, like you've seen in so many fantasy films and books. And they too are associated with these hidden places and these very powerful abilities. And while dwarves are distinct from huldufólk in most respects, they do share the trait of being hidden from the human eye and dwelling in very concealed locations such as mountains or caverns. As mentioned earlier, the belief in the Landvættir, or the land spirits, also influenced the concept of hidden people, and these spirits were thought to protect specific territories and natural features, and they could either help or hinder human endeavors depending on how they were treated. The hidden people might have evolved as a more human-like version over time, or perhaps it just took a while for them to be discovered. Obviously, with the Christianization of Iceland, many pre-Christian beliefs did not disappear, but they instead blended with the new religion. Christianity has this way about it where wherever it goes, it sort of steals from the religions in the area to help convert that populace. And Christian interpretations offered kind of new origins for the hidden people. One common story, like we already said, suggested that the hidden people are actually the descendants of the children of Eve, who were hidden from God. And according to this legend, Eve was embarrassed because some of her children were unwashed, so she hid them when God came to visit. And when God asked about them, she lied, and she claimed that she had no other children. As a result, God declared that what was hidden from him would remain hidden from humanity as well, thus creating these hidden people. And this story kind of shows you how Christian themes of shame, concealment, and divine punishment were very prominent, while also preserving the older ideas of some kind of hidden race that lives parallel to humanity. Of course, we also have the Christian interpretation that huldufólk are actually fallen angels who were cast out of heaven but didn't really fall far enough to reach hell, and now they're stuck here with us. These angels were condemned to live between heaven and hell on earth in this sort of limbo state, and they're hidden from our sight. Folklore surrounding the hidden people likely just continued to evolve through oral tradition, with stories being passed down and adapted over generations, but there's also very many written accounts of the huldufólk. Now, the unique geography and dramatic landscape of Iceland could have also fueled the reason for why huldufólk chose or prosper in Iceland. There are many, many bizarre locations in Iceland with deep caves. We have these elf towers, these bizarre rock structures. It's a very otherworldly landscape that just might be one of the most ideally suited landscapes for this type of creature, this type of entity. One of the very interesting questions that I've been asking myself about every cryptid that I research is, what happens to that cryptid at the end of the world, right? In the context of Icelandic folklore, the fate of the hidden people at the end of the world is not really explicitly detailed, as their stories tend to focus more on their interactions with the human world rather than cosmic events. And that leads me to believe that maybe these things don't actually have souls and they don't follow the same spiritual rules that you and I do. If they do have souls, they might just simply not be bound by the same, let's just say, Bible that we are. But we can explore some possibilities on how they will behave or where they will go when the world ends, based on what we've read in Norse mythology, local traditions, and the nature of hidden people as described in various tales. And it's important to note that what happens to a cryptid at the end of the world is not only a very interesting idea to me, but in my opinion, it does help me sort of categorize these creatures into forces of good or forces of evil or just neutral forces altogether. If the hidden people live in a parallel realm or a world that runs alongside the human world, their fate could be directly tied to that of our world. And when the end comes, whether through natural disasters, cosmic events, or something more metaphysical, the hidden people's world might also come to an end, mirroring the destruction in our own. And the hidden people, they also might survive the end of the world by transforming or evolving in some way. Maybe they can go into purely spirit form. And as beings who can hide themselves from human sight and exist in a dimension that is somewhat removed from our reality, they could possess this ability to adapt or change form. And in some stories, they are described as extremely highly adaptable, capable of shifting their appearance or even their state of being to continue existing despite significant changes in the human world. In this scenario, they could transition to some kind of new state or dimension where they continue to exist, even as the human world fades away. You know, another possibility is that the hidden people, being so closely tied to nature and the land, could become part of the natural cycle that continues even after the world ends in the human way. They might dissolve back into the elements from which they came, merging with the earth, the water, the air. And this would reflect the animistic beliefs that see spirits and beings of nature as integral parts of the world's cycles, which persist beyond human comprehension. Remember, we're meant to be stewards of this planet, to take care of it, for some kind of reason. The hidden people might continue to exist even after the end of the world, living on in their own parallel realm. And their existence is probably independent of human life, as beings that occupy sort of a separate dimension or hidden layer of reality, they will probably remain unaffected by the end of the world. In this view, the Huldufólk would outlast humanity and continue their existence in whatever form or state that they currently occupy, unseen and completely undisturbed by the changes that happen in our human realm. Another interpretation is that the hidden people might just take on a new role as guides or helpers during the transition to the next world. Just as Valkyries guide the souls of the fallen to Valhalla, and we'll go over them a little bit later too, the hidden people might assist humans during these final moments and help us find our way to whatever comes next. This would align with some stories where the Huldufólk are seen as protectors or guardians of humans, protecting us and providing assistance or guidance in times of great need. So what do you guys think? Are you guys getting excited for me to head to Iceland and try to find these mysterious little creatures, or do you think they're fake altogether? You think there's no stock in this story? Let me know what you guys think in the comments. Thanks for tuning in, and remember, don't drink the water and question everything.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.